Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air.
All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
That's what she said.
Crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings.
That just happened.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Y'all ready? They ready? Well, come on!
We
come
ready.
On! Y'all ready?
They ready?
We ready?
I came to the game to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's Channel Seed podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. I'm Chris Williams, joined this week by my partner in crime. He's back after a week's hiatus, Austin Arnott. Welcome to the program, my friend.
How we doing, Chris? Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you on a beautiful bye week here at the Channel Seed podcast.
So beautiful. Bye weeks are so beautiful.
I know, and fans like listening to this are probably just irritated by hearing us say that, but they are awesome. I love bye weeks.
Exactly.
I wish Iowa State had like 5 bye weeks in a year.
At least two.
No, I would miss it, but it is nice to have a week off and be able to just sit there and relax and have a couple cold Busch Lights and watch football. And we got some good games coming up this weekend. It's a good week.
It's a great
for the Clones
weekend.
To be on a bye week.
Yeah. You get to watch a lot of football games. K-State, Oklahoma.
I'm interested in Florida State, Clemson.
Oh, very.
I don't hide the fact that I'm a big Noel guy. In the background.
Clemson's going to have a little rude awakening, I think, coming for him. Florida State is very good.
They are.
Herb Street says they're a national title winner. Herb Street says that the Noles are going to win the national title.
Well, I don't know if I go that far. I mean,
they're good.
They're really good, but they've played Savannah State. I mean, they've played some of the worst teams in all of college football.
That is true.
So, and they're in the ACC.
That is true.
So, they really got to.
ACC, did you watch Virginia Tech versus Pitt?
Well, no, we were doing our radio show, but we were kind of keeping track of it via the scoreboard, and that's pretty unbelievable.
Big first win for Paul Christ.
Well, that's classic Virginia Tech, though, isn't it?
It is.
I mean,
what the heck? They always drop one like that.
Yeah, they really. Like, what was it, James Madison?
James Madison two years ago.
Yeah, I don't know that. Virginia Tech, to me, when I look across the scope of college football, there's not a. I cannot think of a program that is as boring to me as Virginia Tech.
They are so boring.
They're always kind of hanging around, but they're never what I would consider a threat. Well,
they don't utilize their pieces. They have a 6'6", 260-pound quarterback, and they like drop him back and try and roll him out. Send that big son of a gun up the middle and stop trying to dink and dunk. You have a 260-pound quarterback who can run. Go.
And you're in the ACC. It's not like you've got a bunch of nasty defenses. Obviously, they haven't played ACC. Well, I think they have played an ACC game, actually. But that you didn't tune into the Channel Seed podcast to hear us talk Virginia Tech football.
Correct.
Maybe you did. Channel Seedsmanship, it's about being in your fields, giving you expert advice and recommending the elite seed products to help maximize your profitability. Find your local Channel Seedsman at channel.com. Thanks to them for providing this podcast each and every week. Here at CycloneFanatic.com. Let's start off with a few Iowa State topics, Austin. I want to talk a lot of Big 12, too, being that it is a bye week. We'll be doing the same thing tonight. I'll be at Kippy's Place in Elkhart for the Cyclone Fanatic call-in show. 7 to 8, 1460 KXNO, Brent Bloom and Tron Smith will join me. I want to talk about Steel Jantz. Paul Rhodes did a little media session last night where he was talking about the turnovers, you know, and the media drilling Paul about Steel's turnovers and whatnot. I want to ask you this because I was going through and looking at the same thing earlier in the week, and Iowa State's turned the ball over 8 times in 3 games. And I'm trying to account for who's responsible for each turnover. It came down to it where I had steals tabbed for 6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the zone read at Iowa, who you blame on that one. Yeah. But then there's like the Hammerschmidt play against Tulsa.
Right.
Hits him in the hands. I mean, he had to jump. It was a high ball. Do you blame him for that? And then Rhodes was talking last night about there was another play. I'm not sure exactly which game it was from, if it was from Western Illinois or I don't think it was Western Illinois. It would have had to have been from the Iowa game. But how much of these are obviously Steele's putting in the ball, He's putting the ball in unfavorable situations more often than not right now. Well, not I wouldn't even say that. He's completing 70% of his passes, but too much. We'll put it that way. How much of these are actually his fault, and how much of this, being a former quarterback, how many times do you throw an interception where it looks like the quarterback's fault to the naked eye, but really the guy didn't run the right route or something like that? Right. I mean, how much of that can be accounted?
I would say, and just watching, because a lot of the stuff that Iowa State does now I'm familiar with and have watched, a lot of stuff that Steele's doing right now is kind of on him. But there is those occasional few where high ball, but, you know, Kurt had two hands on it, should have caught it. You just never know. And especially with Steele, I think a lot of times Steele, you know, and he's still, and this is why, you know, he's a senior, but he's still, in my mind, a young quarterback, because he will force the issue as hard as he can. Like, you look at Iowa, the pick in the end zone, James Morris. I mean, that was one of the worst thrown footballs I think I've ever seen. I mean, that's one of the – you have to have that if you want to beat good teams. You need to score right there. You can't throw a pick after driving 90 yards.
Especially on the road.
Exactly, on the road. I mean, that's – you know, I'm not hammering Steele by any means. I mean, shoot, I made a lot of mistakes too at quarterback. I can be critical because I was in his spot and I understand he's going through. And you know, I wouldn't have anybody else leading our team. I mean, the guy can make plays. He's completing 70% of his passes. I mean, that's something that we need.
Let me ask you this. At what point is he who he is? As far as he is still a young guy.
Right.
He hasn't played a ton of quarterback when you compare – let's just compare to like a Landry Jones.
Exactly.
The upper echelon quarterback in the Big 12. Jones has been playing the position all of his life.
It's not even close.
Steele started playing the position in junior college, pretty much.
Pretty much.
At what point can Iowa State fans just say, all right, listen, we got to take the guy as he is. He's going to turn the ball over some. But if he keeps completing 70% of his passes, in my opinion, I mean, that makes up for a lot compared to what we saw last year when you're completing 49% of your passes and you're turning the ball over at an extremely high rate.
Exactly. I think you're 100% right. It's going to be a work in progress. This kid is by far a masterpiece at quarterback. And I am encouraged by seeing him, you know, complete 70% of his balls, but the turnovers have got to cease. But that's the one thing, like I said, he's still a young at mind. He wants to make the big play when he should make the right play.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got to be more selective in what he does. He's gotten a lot better at it from last year in these first three games. But the Big 12 schedule, you know, time will tell. That's a thing. That's a determining factor that got him last year. You know, he had a bad game against UConn, but he had a couple, you know, led him back against UNI, beat Iowa single-handedly, basically. And then, you know, once he got the Big 12 season with a little bit of an injury deal, and he never saw the field again.
I think he's the guy. I mean,
I
know he's the guy.
The way he's completing ball, he is the guy. I mean,
yeah.
He looks a lot more comfortable this year, too.
I'll be honest with you, though. I don't think, based off of what we've seen, I just don't believe that this turnover thing is going to get corrected this year. I mean, maybe the fumble against Western Illinois, you know, where he tries to do a little too much, maybe that stuff does. But I mean, how much can a guy, and this is where I really appreciate being able to ask you this. I mean, how much can you really learn week to week from film? At some point, I mean, obviously you're scouting, you're doing all that stuff, you're game planning.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you know, it is upstairs, and it's what's going on up there. And I just feel like if it didn't correct in the off season, if it hasn't corrected maybe after watching that Iowa film, where I know that they had a lot to teach.
Yeah.
Maybe the bye week is it. Maybe we give them the extra week and see what happens. You're going to see better defenses going forward. TCU is a good defense. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good defenses in the Big 12, as much as it is being talked about as a offensive league. I just don't know that we're going to see a night and day difference between right now and the end of the year. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not convinced that we will.
And I'm on the same boat with you. I really think that, you know, almost I'd say 75% of to 80% of his development is preparation in practice and going to these games. He's got to be able to, okay, I remember practice. You get a million looks at the same look. You know what's going to happen on, and more than not, on Saturday, it happens the exact same way. They don't change it. You know, college coaches were so good, and this is where Tom Herman was great for me. He would have charted the blitzes and what down and distance. Okay, you know, if there's third and seven, I was looking for, okay, field blitz here. We know that they're popular. Their blitz here is field C.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got it diagrammed down to a science. So if Steele can just stick to the game plan, like I said, not force plays, but you know, do the make the right play, yeah, taking a sack is better than throwing an interception.
Absolutely.
Run it. You're scrambling around. Throw the ball away. You don't have to force it laid across the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The little things like that that are going to keep him upright and still having some confidence and having the offense have confidence in him, just to, you know, that much more making him a better player as the games go on.
I hope I'm wrong. And I do think, too, instead of like games last year where you saw three, possibly four turnovers, I don't think we're going to see those numbers. Don't get me wrong. I think he's come a long way.
Yeah.
But I don't see a ton of zero turnover games is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make.
Right. You know, you live by the gun, you die by the gun.
Yeah, and turn the ball over once or twice, you can still win football games. So when you start getting into three, four, where you're basically shooting yourself in the foot.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that Coach Herman would always preach. You know, 99% of the time, if you turn the ball over more than the other team, you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Iowa State turned it over more against Iowa and I think Western Illinois.
Yeah, 7-2 is the turnover ratio, and they're 2-0 in those games.
I know, and that's one thing I guarantee you Coach Rhodes is preaching. Okay, you guys are doing a great job on defense, stopping them. They're not scoring, but be more opportunistic. Take these things away.
Channel Seed Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. I want to let everybody know we're doing this bus trip, Austin. Have you heard about our bus trip?
To KU?
KU, yeah. $85.
And it's big time.
$85 is all it costs. It gets you your ticket, charter bus, and you can bring a cold cooler of beer or pop.
Wow.
Or you can bring some coffee. You can bring whatever the heck you want
nice.
On the bus. It's
pretty
cool.
Big time.
Yeah, but they're filling up, for real. We put some sort of an October deadline. I'm not sure exactly the date Adam put on there, but some sort of an October deadline because we got to get this figured out and seating arrangements and all that jazz. So
get
signed up.
Get on there.
Go to the football forum. It's pinned up at the top of the page. Go check it out at CycloneFanatic.com, of course. Young guys got into the game on Saturday, Austin.
Yes, they did.
Devondrick Neely, he's really the guy who made the splash.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I tell you what, I know he was playing against Western Illinois, but so were the other guys, and Neely looked better than everybody.
I know.
I'm not saying he needs to go out there and start against Texas Tech, but I am going to say it's going to be tough to keep this kid off the field at some point, isn't it?
He's very talented. I mean, I've had the lucky advantage of seeing him more than once.
Yeah.
And seeing him in practice and kind of develop through spring ball and only got out to a couple practices this summer, but the times I saw, I mean, this kid has got he's very comparable to Chanterelle, but he might even be quicker. He might even be faster.
He's bigger, right?
He's a little bit bigger.
Not a ton, but I mean,
not a ton. He might be faster than Chanterelle in the open field.
Really?
Right now, I think because Chanterelle's put on about 10 pounds since he's been here.
It seemed to me like he does less dancing than the other two.
Right.
He's just more of a north-south guy.
Right.
I'm not saying he can't dance, but, you know, you saw at the Iowa game, and people were critical of this, but Chanterelle...
Behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, our running backs really were not doing a good job of being patient.
Well, that's the biggest thing when you're running the zone out of the shotgun. The biggest thing you have to do as a running back is press the line of scrimmage. You press the line of scrimmage, and then you look to make your cut. People have watched Iowa's offensive line. If you watch them, they're the best at it. Well, not this year, but they're the best at it. They're the best at... You know, once that ball snapped, they're all, if it's zone right, they're all there. They're
mm-hmm.
all there. And it sets up this massive wall. And then the running back can look up to the second level, see where he needs to cut, and make a cut.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the same scheme, but we're at the shotgun. So with Chanterelle, sometimes he fails to press the line of scrimmage, and he's trying to make a cut off of defensive lineman in the backfield. A little bit of that's on the offensive line, but a little bit of that's on him. He's got to, you know, kind of bleed it out. Follow your play, then something big is going to pop.
Chanterelle's just so aggressive.
He really is.
It's hard. I would think it'd be hard for a guy like that. I mean, I can only imagine.
Think if Chanterelle was playing quarterback.
Well, that's funny you went that way because that's kind of where I was going. I can only imagine being in a huddle with that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be just chomping at the bits.
Oh, he's nonstop talking. I mean, good thing they're a no-huddle team.
but what's funny, though, is you got, and, you know, the casual fan probably doesn't realize this, but Chanterelle's that way. James White is a very quiet young man.
He's almost mute.
Yeah, he's a low talker.
Except for when big things pop off, James is there always encouraging. That's why James is elected a captain. I mean, he's a great teammate. I mean, the kid's an unbelievable teammate.
Well, I will say, I think for the last 2 years, maybe even three, Paul Rhodes has said that he's been one of the most improved guys in spring camp.
Oh, yeah.
And he always calls him the hardest worker. I mean, he's always being mentioned. And that's pretty good words for your head coach to say
something like that.
No
doubt.
No, but that is funny, the dynamic between those two. What's Neely like? Have you been around him much?
Not really that much, but okay. I know he's
He's kind of squirrely.
You know, he's a Florida kid. But I wouldn't put him in the category of Chantrell. Chantrell is a unique human being. There's no doubt about it.
He's a really good kid. He's one of my favorites. To sit there and interview, I love it. Mm-hmm. So obviously Jeff Woody's had the injury stuff.
That sucks.
Nonetheless,
I just got my new T-shirt. Get out the wood. And it has a helmet with 32 on it.
Nice.
Woo! I'm fired up about it.
That's pretty sweet.
I'm gonna put CIMO Pride on the back.
How's a guy get one of them?
I got a guy.
You got a guy?
I got a guy.
All right.
I'll introduce you on Twitter. I got a guy.
All right. No, but Neely, though, to wrap this up, barring no injuries, I mean, is he good enough, in your opinion? And again, keep it all in context. This was fourth quarter against Western Illinois. We fully understand that. Is he good enough? I noticed they have him on kick return now.
Yep.
They're obviously trying to get him some touches at some point in time. I mean, do you see this going any farther in the Big 12 season, or do you just kind of see it?
Unless there's injuries, no.
Okay.
Just because they have so much faith in Chantrell and James. I mean, that's a good 1-2 punch. And then when Jeff's healthy again, the third punch. And I just don't think that, you know, with both those guys healthy and Woody healthy, it's going to be hard for him to get carries. But, you know, you look at what Darian Hollis did a couple times last year. You know, dare we bring up that name, who's gone now. But, you know, he broke up that big run against Texas Tech.
And he
played the rest of the year. So
what about these? I'll tell you where I've been a little bit disappointed this year, and I don't even know if it's fair, but the three freshman wide receivers.
They ain't even.
No, there's one catch amongst the three of them in three games. Quentin had the one, but that was in scrap minutes against Western Illinois.
On Mill and Brinson on Monday, I was like, that's what I kind of said. I was, you know, we've heard so much about Jaquarius Daniels. I haven't seen him.
Is it just because these seniors are?
I think Chris Young, Josh Lenz, Aaron Horn, Jarvis West, Jerome Tiller, those guys are, you know, obviously more mature,
yeah,
and have practiced more times, and that's the hardest thing when you're a freshman, redshirt freshman, is continuing to learn how to practice. You know, when guys come from high school, they don't know how to practice.
Exactly.
We're talking about practice. They don't know how to practice hard all the time, and you can see it kind of. You know, I think that's maybe a little bit what's going on, is that these guys, their mental reps aren't as good as these other guys.
Iowa State's top four receivers this year, as far as receptions and yardage goes. All seniors.
Yep.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have thought that Chris Albert Young, Gary Josh and Lane. Jarvis West would have been up there.
Albert hasn't been on the field much either.
Albert
hasn't been making plays much.
And he hasn't done anything when he's got the ball. Four catches for 18 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm really fair to be critical here.
If we're sitting here in the spring and we said that, that's a good thing.
Probably.
That's a good thing.
To have your experienced guys out there making plays.
No doubt that's a good thing.
Chris Young, I mean, he's blown me away. Talk about a guy who flew under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, he came in from TVCC, same JUCO as Tuba Rubin.
Yeah.
And the infamous Zach Spears.
Oh, Zach Lapedia.
Yeah, Zach was kind of the guy that said, hey, coach, I think there's a guy that you should take a look at down here at my JUCO.
So it's Chris Young?
Yeah, and Chris is... He's a special athlete. I mean, of all the guys I ever played with, and I played with some good ones, you know, the career leader, Todd Blythe.
Yep.
As far as getting off the line of scrimmage and releasing and being, you know, his first, you know, five steps of his route, fastest I've ever seen. The guy is good with his hands. He can get off the ball. I mean, he can go. I mean, the kid can run once he gets going. I just think that this is perfect because he was one of those guys early that was in a lot of coaches' doghouse. And he's matured. He's came a long way. He's matured. And, you know, now he's in a spot where he's, you know, one of our best playmakers out there on the edge. And that's a good thing for him. And you know, the kid, you know, he's finally deserved it. He's matured. He's ready to play. And I think he's going to continually be good for us.
No, he's been one of the best stories of 2012 by far. I think you can definitely go that route. Mm-hmm. Enough Iowa State. Let's talk a little bit Big 12.
Let's do it.
You good with that? I want to discuss specifically this weekend's games, but go over some news and notes as well. I have obviously, if anybody listens to this podcast, if you read our stuff, I've not been high on TCU. I have not been high on TCU
right
all summer long. That did not surprise me that they had problems with Kansas.
They had problems, but they have two trips inside the red zone in the last 5 minutes.
I understand, but that vaunted defense, what a Kansas offense that hadn't thrown for 170 yards
in a three.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean, though? Like, that's their strength.
But that's the thing. On 19 completions, that's That's a lot of yak there.
Dude, Dane Chris is throwing the ball over you, okay?
Dane Chris.
You got
some
heck of a lot better offenses like that coming your way.
Because that secondary was the couple guys got busted, huh? Or are they back on the field or what's the deal?
There's a lot going on at TC.
Yeah, their wheels are spinning.
15 true freshmen on the field.
What?
15 true freshmen are playing
for
TCU this year. And then you got to.
We were right about that one.
Factor this one now. They're starting running back. Waymon James is out for the rest of the season.
I saw that.
Because this has been my point the whole time, Austin.
Depth.
Is depth. And I feel the same way with West Virginia. West Virginia is fine right now because they play the Marshalls of the world. And
you're not going to be able to get me off that bet. I mean, them guys can play.
And that's fine because I'm out on an island with my opinion on West Virginia. But I'm telling TCU, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're 5th, 6th, maybe 7th in the Big 12 at the end of the year.
We did talk about that early in the preseason night. I think that TCU is a team that, you know, can catch fire, but I don't see them catching fire anytime soon. These guys, you know, they just became so stagnant against Kansas. I watched the entire second half. It's just like they would have a big drive, go score, and then they would just, you know, kind of be proud of themselves and just sit there and kind of play with their buddy there and, okay, clock's running, let's go.
I respect Prove Gary yourself Patterson here. A lot. And I know he's he has some coach. Players, but I don't think he has Big 12 depth.
No.
And I think, I'm telling you.
Well, and they're kind of like Iowa in a sense on defense. They play a lot of two read. They're very generic defense. They rely on their playmakers to make plays, safeties and outside linebackers to get in those passing windows on the outside. So, you know, they can be hurt in the pass. That's kind of what Kansas did. They kind of spread them out and, you know, used their Kansas has some speed out there on the edge, and they were going after them. You saw a lot of, and this is going to be for Iowa State, you saw a lot of play action and then the back sneaking out of the backfield, out of the back door, and then, you know, Kansas threw it over their back shoulder and 30-40 yards later.
Well, they get Virginia this weekend. So, actually, it's a decent test. Not great, but that's a decent test.
Virginia is a decent football team.
We'll learn a little bit more about TCU. The big one, I think, is obviously there's the Kansas State-Oklahoma game. But before that, Baylor at Louisiana-Monroe. I've been pretty vocal that I think Baylor is an underrated football team. I think
in Louisiana-Monroe, some overachievers.
Dude, Louisiana-Monroe is legit. When you factor in they beat Arkansas.
Side note, caveat. Chiz might not get 500 this year.
Chiz might not be a head
they might,
coach
They might
after
win
a
four or five games.
If Tops. He wins four games, is he employed?
For one more year, yeah.
One more year? They give him one
if they
more?
Go, if they go less than five, if he wins less than seven games next year, he gone.
That's incredible. Win a national
title. Look
at
Tommy Tuberville. He was there forever.
I know. Well, and yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that.
I told you that
Coach just wrote a book.
I told you that Coach Rhodes story about Tommy Tuberville, right?
Which one?
The one about when they got fired?
I don't think so.
Oh, they were recruiting a kid. I think he was going to Mississippi or something like that. Recruiting a kid, and he gets on the plane, and everything's all good. He gets off the plane, touches down in Mississippi to go see this kid. His texts are going crazy, emails, missed so many phone calls, and got fired. Him and another coach drove to the gas station, picked up a six-pack, got back on the plane, and went home. It's kind of what he told me. I think that's pretty funny.
Old Tuberville. He'll be coming to town here next weekend.
I can't wait.
Rhodes has his number.
I know.
Do you believe in that, or is it just a coincidence that Iowa State is beating up on Texas Tech?
I believe in that.
You do believe in that? Oh, you don't
can't
believe
steal.
In that.
You can't steal from a man.
You don't believe
in I believe
that.
In
oh,
that.
You do believe
you can't
in
steal
that.
From a man. Not expect to have any consequences. It's a beat down.
So you like, early guess, you like the Clones in that one.
I do, but
Tech is a lot better.
They're a lot better this year. They have been hanging some points.
Dude.
Deggy's a senior, right?
151 to 30, they've outscored their opponents. And here's the
deal. They haven't played anybody.
They haven't played anybody, but if I'm Texas Tech, like, you know, I'm a Raider fan. I'm a hell of a lot happier with those points than what could be. You could be sneaking past everybody. Right. Been saying it all summer. This is a game that I think a lot of Iowa State fans have pinned in as a win.
It's eerily similar to last year when we were 3-0 and Texas came to town.
Yeah, I would say so.
So that makes me, you know, worrisome because we came out there and we thought we were ready to play and they just outplayed us from 0 to 60.
Although I think Iowa State's a much better team right now than they were at that point last
year. Yes, I agree. But that secondary is going to get their first real test. I mean, they're going to get their first, okay, Jansen Watson, Kenneth Lynn.
Yeah, I love that secondary.
Deion Broomfield. They are a good bunch.
I love
Don't get me
group.
Wrong, but they have a large plate of food coming their way.
I'm not buying any Kool-Aid because I generally don't try and do that. I'm starting to think that this year's team could beat 2005.
Yeah. I think,
especially if they played in like week 9, yeah, where depth is accounted for.
I said this on Monday that this secondary already, you know, fundamentally looks better than the one we had last year, and that's saying a lot.
I'll buy that.
That's saying a lot with Leonard being gone.
But think of some of the stupid things Leonard was doing at the beginning of last year.
True, true.
I mean, I love Leonard. He's an NFL cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't think that Benton down to the guys playing at strong safety, I don't think that's much of a drop off.
True. How much does John Gruden love Kalichi Osemele?
Oh yeah, big time. Big time.
That's awesome.
It's like his old infatuation for Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah. The gunslinger.
The old gunslinger. All right, Louisiana Monroe hosting Baylor. Baylor's a 7-point favorite. Baylor had problems with Sam Houston State last week.
Had a late surge.
But I still think Baylor's better than most people think. I think this line's a little bit inflated due to Louisiana Monroe's recent success. I think they're trying to get some action.
Right.
I like the Bears by 10.
I like the Bears, too. I don't think, you know, Louisiana Monroe, they're done overachieving against BCS teams this year. They had their two shots. They beat Arkansas, who we saw Arkansas is a bad football team without their quarterback.
I misread them big time last
Without
week.
Their quarterback, man.
I thought they'd cover. I thought that it would be one of those.
I think I took Bama. I said, there's no way.
See, I thought that it would be.
Because I knew that quarterback wasn't going to play.
I thought it'd be a deal where the guys are like, all right, enough of this crap. We need to step it up. And I didn't think they beat Bama, but I thought they would at least hang. No.
Alabama could line up against the Jacksonville Jaguars and have a pretty good chance of beating them.
I don't believe that.
I think they'd have a pretty good chance.
The Jags almost beat the Vikes, dude.
Hey, that's why I said it. Now I get some Vikes, I got no chance against the Vikes.
Well, I guess Blaine Gabbert is their quarterback.
Right. Just give Saban a bye week.
Let him get prepped.
You got Jacksonville.
Yeah. Be a hell of a game. I don't think they'd beat him though.
There's more NFL guys on Alabama's team than Jacksonville.
All right, so you like Baylor in that one.
I like Baylor.
What's going on with Charlie Weiss in Northern Illinois? The Kansas goes to Northern Illinois.
That's kind of been a rivalry the past couple of years. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic, but it's Chandler Harnish last year went into Lawrence and lit him up and beat him.
Yeah, pretty good too.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
It's at Illinois. Is that Northern Illinois?
Yep.
Is there a line yet?
I don't know what the line. I can look it up.
Look it up quick.
Give me a minute.
Yeah, but the thing I love about Charlie Weiss is that he's just so easy. It's so easy. It's like Mangino. It's so easy to just pick on that guy. You see him on the sideline. He's got spit all over his microphone.
Because he's obese.
He's looking sloppy. No, just because he looks sloppy.
Yeah.
More than anything. And he's supposed to be this guru, and he's not a guru.
Ooh, big game tonight. BYU at Boise.
I know. BYU has had some misfortune there. Utah beat them without their starting quarterback. Did you see that?
Yeah, that and that
Jordan Wynn.
The ending to that game was insane. I was up working.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Twitter just started blowing up. All right, here's the line.
Yeah.
Northern Illinois, a 9.5 favorite over the Big 12.
Huskies a 9.5 favorite.
I like Kansas.
I like Kansas all day.
That might be one of my best bets of the weekend.
That's a locky.
I love Kansas in that game.
That's an Andrew Locke.
Did you watch Northern Illinois play Iowa? They were awful.
Oh, but they can get to the quarterback. That worries KU. KU is max protecting this week.
KU,
because Chris is going to be on his back.
Hey, KU wins it outright.
Outright,
take the money line.
They cover. They ain't winning.
Can you even get a money line on that game? Let me see.
Of course you can.
Oh yeah.
Of course you can.
Sound like a bunch of degenerate gamblers here. Take the money line and
Jayhawks. Hey, call it what you want, man.
All right. Yep. There's my pick.
Okay.
Now we got the final.
I think they don't win outright. Nope. Don't fans. Don't fans.
Money line.
No money line. Just pick them to cover.
There's no way you lose two in a row to Northern Illinois.
Pick them to cover.
Kansas could beat Iowa. I think we're okay. Neutral field.
Jeez.
Neutral field.
No. No way. Kansas' defense.
I'm straight trolling the Hawkeye Nation right now.
You're just throwing dung in the wall.
No, Iowa's better than Kansas. Thank you. Honestly, I don't know how much better. I really don't.
Well, yeah.
You throw Kansas in the Big Ten, that's a 3-4 win team probably. If the schedule plays
they're
itself
beat the Hoosiers.
Outright. And they're going to sneak past an Iowa, a Northwestern. Northwestern is one of the best teams in the Big Ten this year. Never mind.
Hey,
Minnesota.
Western train there.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kansas would sneak past some of those teams.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
They'd get a couple.
Kansas State at Oklahoma. This is the big daddy.
Okay. We need a line. I have to know something.
You need a line?
The biggest thing about that game is going to be Colin Klein.
I think you're overlooking Wild Bill. Old man Snyder.
Old man. It's at Norman.
14.
That sucks.
14 is the line. You got to go with Snyder and take the points. I mean,
you have to. He did it last year all year.
It's Bill Snyder.
You got to take the points.
Crying out loud.
But I could see this. I mean, last year at Manhattan, it got ugly real quick.
It did.
Oklahoma
didn't
smell blood, and they just went for it.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I'm going with old man Snyder to cover. I don't think he wins.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I think Oklahoma wins the ball game.
Kansas State's a more mature football team this year.
I'm going to say it's going to be low scoring. I'm going to go out of limb.
So the magic number is 58.5.
Under.
You say take the under, huh?
Under. Night game, right?
Night game.
Yep. OU loves to score. OU doesn't like to score at night.
Really?
Yeah.
They sure put up enough on you guys a couple years ago.
Yeah,
we did. I'm just messing with it.
That doesn't count.
I had to go there.
It's irrelevant.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go Kansas State to cover. And I don't really have any clue on the over-under. But I do think that Bill Snyder will try and bleed the clock and run the football as much as possible. So your theory makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Your theory does make a lot of sense. You like Florida State? Florida State, Clemson, you like the Noles?
I love the Noles.
You like Notre Dame or Michigan?
At Big House. Again, why are they playing in there again? I like Notre Dame.
Are you sure it's in the Big House?
It's in the Big House again. It's at Michigan again.
What?
I know. Makes no sense, right? Last year was the first night game ever at Big House. They're playing it there again.
I don't believe you.
I swear to God, I know that's true.
All right.
Check it out, man.
I'm looking.
Check in the cash.
Iowa Central Michigan, what's your read on that game?
Anthony Young, Central Michigan. Former.
Oh, yeah. Iowa State former corner. Clone, the guy who Dan Tracy wrote that story about.
They should win by two touchdowns.
What about Tulsa, Fresno State? That's a big test for Tulsa right there.
Fresno beat the 55-0 against the Buffs. I said that on Monday at Miller Brinson. I said, how about Colorado getting whooped? I love it.
The Buffs are a disgrace to humanity.
Whoever they are playing this week, fans, take them. Take
them. Buffs got Leach. They got Mike Leach.
Leach is going to light them on fire.
21's your number right there.
Leach, light them on fire. They'll win by 30.
I'm still looking for this Notre Dame. Okay.
It's
the line is 4.5.
At Michigan, correct?
Team. No, Notre Dame is the bottom team, Austin.
That's great. Then it's at Notre Dame.
I've been telling you this.
Dude, I swear I heard someone say that.
No, they get them at home.
Go Irish.
I've been trying.
Irish.
I don't know why you thought that.
Notre Dame's defensive line last week?
I didn't get to watch the game. I was at the Iowa State game.
They got some cats.
Do they?
Michigan State's supposed to be able to run the ball.
Michigan State's supposed to have that nasty defense.
Yeah, it wasn't so nasty.
Well, hey, man, it's a good weekend. I'm excited for the weekend. I really am. I'm going to.
Notre Dame, they have the Everett Golson kid. He's just playing average. He's going to be a cat in the next couple years. He's only
you think
a sophomore.
So?
He's very good.
Big.
He's got tools.
Heisman candidate. I mean, he's at Notre Dame. He's going to be in the mix.
Yeah, he's questionable.
All right. Well, Austin, thanks for stopping by, man.
You bet.
I appreciate it. You've been listening to the Channel Seed podcast, Channel Seedsmanship. It's about being in your fields, giving you expert advice, and recommending elite seed products to help maximize your profitability. Find your local Channel Seedsman at channel.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the off week. Enjoy watching games. As always, go Cyclones, and we'll see you next week on the Channel Seed Podcast.